Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you one more time for feeding your flock this morning, for feeding us. Father, but I'm hungry tonight again. Sorry, but just a growing boy. I need some nutrients. I need some spiritual nutrients tonight. Father, and when I wake up tomorrow, I'll be even hungrier. Father, we are growing. We are changing. Father, changing means growth, and to growth we need to eat in the physical sense, so also in the spiritual sense. Father, so tonight we ask you once again, we are not pleading, we are not begging. We know that you want to feed us, Father, and you will give us the things that we have need of, the right nutrients, the right everything that we have need tonight, and we're asking you, Lord, to come because I am hungry. I am thirsty for righteousness. And you said that you will fill me. That's what you were said, Father. So, Father, we ask you to come down again and walk among us. Father, and we thank you in advance for what you're going to do tonight, Father. We sure love you, Lord, and we appreciate you, and we praise you, and we give you thanks and praises for the things you already done. Just for what you have done, we praise you, Father. And we thank you. If you don't do nothing else, Father, we love you. And we surely adore you tonight, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen. I want to read one scripture while you're still standing. Let me see if I grab the wrong notes. Okay, I got these other ones. Thank you for your feedback. I always like to have feedbacks. We don't get too much feedbacks. I mean, I don't know why. But I thank you that you guys are nice and you care. And you do. And I appreciate everything you have to say. Not only today, but just, you know, the last time I preached. You all were so nice and so kind to me. I know that is the Lord working. I don't take no credit for it. That's God. God is the one that is doing the work in you and me. So we thank God that he can use man's, you know, like me, you know, born in shaping iniquity and born in lies, telling lies and in a mess like we were, but God took us and from the miry clay and he scraped us clean. He put us on the rock to stay. He filled us with the Holy Ghost. And thank you because he's still working on me. So if there's something that you still don't like, listen, he's working on me. So, and I know he's working on you. Because if you were done, you'd be out of here. So, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open faces, beholding, as in a glass, in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. No, not your glory, but his glory. Says, and then are changed into the same image. What image? The Lord that we are, you know, looking at. That image. Says he changes. So we have to have some kind of idea or revelation what we need to change to. You're not be able to change unless you know what you're changing into. But see, he will give you that glimpse of change. And this is progressive. You're not going to change from one day to another. But he okay, yeah, we back. I put it in my back pocket for right now. Okay, so what I was saying, okay, I was reading. It says, change into the same image from glory to glory. See, it is progressive. It is something that is you know, a slow process. It's not something that happened overnight. You know, it might take a life, long process. I don't know how long will be your life, but whatever your life is, the cycle of beginning and end, God knows that. This is not a groupie thing, you know. We all done. You're done. No. My life cycle, whatever I'm going to live, he knows when that is going to end. But by then, for sure, I'm going to assure you I won't be complete. He will not take me out of here until I'm complete. So at least I have something to look at. So if I'm supposed to die tomorrow. I'm done. Right. I just feel sorry for you that I had to stay. I'm going to be happy. So, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, through the revelation of the Spirit of His Word, revealing to us His glory, then we can start changing into that glory. So, we still the help of the Holy Ghost. You can be seated. And as we talked about this morning, we're talking about change. And change is something that it has to happen all the time. There's no break in here, see? Things are changing. Minute by minute, things are changing. And change means growth. If something don't change, it don't grow. If a plant you put in the ground don't die and don't change, it won't grow. It won't produce. So, change means that, like Ephesians 4, Paul says in Ephesians 4, you know, the ministry is here to help you what? Grow to the stature of what? Of a perfect man or woman. That's growing, you know, from when we start. But however, if that is growth, what happened to the people that don't listen to the word every day? Or Wednesdays or Thursdays and Fridays or whatever time we get together? Because that's what the ministry do. It's just feed you and give you the word. So the Holy Spirit will give you the revelation, what you're looking at, a glimpse of the Lord. Something that is going to change your life. It will be different for everybody. But it's in Him, you know, that we have that we can see the change that we have need of. Not in church, not in me, you know, not in every place out there, but the change is in Him, beholding His face. Now, so if we want to grow, and maybe you don't agree with me, but if God put this church here and this pastor, and you decided this is my church, this is my pastor, that's how you're going to grow. I mean, you can read your Bible, you can listen to tape, you can do everything at home, and it's good to do that. But if we want to grow the way we're supposed to as a body, then we need someone. And God made this. He planned this. It's not something that I'm just making up. That's a powerful ministry. See? So, I don't know what's going to happen to people that don't come and they don't grow. Because if they don't come, according to what I'm reading, they don't grow. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with them. Maybe in the last day or prior to the rapture, maybe it will be a quick work. I don't know. They're going to have to come and make up all those lessons. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I know that I need to grow. And if I need to grow, I need to be where the carcass is at, where the teaching is at, you know, where the ministry that is chosen by God in place with the full gospel. I need to be there because that assured me, the Bible assured me that that will get me to start growing towards a stature of a perfect man, perfect woman. Let me tell you what Brother Branham says over here in Convince and Concern. Well, you can say I am crazy. You can say the same thing about me anyway. I'm not going to listen, but anyway. Not going to lose no sleep, but I am crazy if you want to. You can say I am out of the will of the Lord if you want to. But just one thing, where once was a sinner, I have been saved. Where I was one gloomy and gloom, I'm happy in the Lord Jesus. I know there's something happened to me. And see, I cannot explain it to you, but I know something happens to me. Like a caller sister said one time in a meeting, she said, I want you all to know one thing, said, I am not what I want to be, but I am not what I ought to be, but there's one thing sure, I am not what I used to be. So she has gone through some changes. I tell you, that is a good thing. You know, when you are passed from death unto life, when God takes a hold of you and shake you, your life will change. See, so we need some once in a while to get shaken up, you know, shook. See, sometimes God has to get our attention because if it wasn't for that, we relax. But I'm glad that God wants my attention. See, because if He don't do that, I cannot make myself desperate for this. He has to do that. He says, your life changes and changes everything that is in you. And it will. Everything. So might as well throw everything out, because everything that you bring, you just empty your whole cup, because he will fill it up. Don't bring nothing. Just empty your cup and he will fill it up. See, I make you a new creature. Amen. That's what we need. Some lighted candles. Yes, sir. Now, God commissioned to Moses. And one of the doctors said, well, I tell you, I find that this is the greatest power. Now, you want power? Okay. But you may make sure you have character, because power without character. So you have to get the character. But power in the world is not the atomic bomb, but a believer in contact with his maker. See, it changed the whole attitude, changes his mental, changes his habits, changes his body, changes his nature. Everything is changed. So God and one man surrendered to him is worse than an atomic bomb. Now, don't blow up on me now. Just like, don't go. No, I want to say it. I don't want to say those things. You see, changes everything. So we don't want partial change. We don't want just halfway change. We want 100% change. And that means 100% of me, you know, has to go. I mean, that's kind of hard, because I know myself for so many years. And I don't want to get rid of myself, but I had to die to myself. What do I have to bring? Nothing. Just an empty vessel. Lord, fill it up, please. And then he says, questions and answers on the seal. Well, Sam, death claims everything. Death claims everything. It is all gone. Yeah. But when the word of God is revealed and you know it is good, it is God, that changes everything. So see, you have to make sure that it's a revelation from God. Maybe everybody think you're crazy and nobody will agree with you, but that doesn't matter. As long as you know that that's God, that will cause a change. Because that is the only thing that can cause a change. If I tell you to change, or I'll give you some pretty word, that's not going to change you. The only thing that can change you, has the power to change, is the word of God revealed to you. Once you know that, you're on your way. Let's see. What? Okay, so change, we said, it is changing to another form. You know, we are changing, you know, from glory to glory. And that form is that image, you know, that God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, that he saw you to begin with. Let me read the first, this 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. See, now, if we go to, let's see what the scripture is saying. Let's go to, what I did with the scripture got lost on me. Hold on. Maybe I taped this thing in the wrong way. No, I didn't. Anyway, I know what it is. I don't need the paper. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 13. And we go to 11, because I want to explain you this beholding the face. Because Paul is making an illustration about Moses, see? And I'm going to, when I was a child, you know, this is changing. This is growing. Right. You know, it's all right. When you speak like a child and you act like a child and you understood like a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, see, something had to change. You cannot take a child all your life. So when you change, then I put away everything that was what? See? We had to grow. Well, how do I know you grow? When you put away all the childish things. Amen. So, what I wanted to show you here, when for now we see through a glass, darkly, right? It's not all clear. Now, in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, with an open face beholding in a glass. Now, he's referring to Moses. Moses went to the mountain for 40 days, 40 nights. And when he came down, after being in the presence of God, amazing, huh? That must have been something glorious, being in the presence. I mean,
Being in the presence of God here tonight is amazing. Can you imagine him and God having fellowship, communion? When he came down in 40 years, something happened to him. He had a what? A glow. See, I know when you've been with God in your closet, because you come with a different glow on you. And you say, wow, you look good today. What do? You take a shower or a bath or something? No, it's not Saturday. Okay, but see, your countenance will change. If you spend time with God, don't tell me that your countenance is not going to change. Moses came down and his face was glowing. And the people got afraid of the same thing. They got afraid of the Holy Ghost. But they got afraid because they thought, you know, if he saw God, you know, no one has seen God. But look at this guy. He's even glowing. He's going to just explode pretty soon, you know. So he must have saw God, so he's going to die. We better just stay away from him, you know. But the same thing that they think, you know, is going to kill them, it's going to help them. So what Moses has to do? Put a bell. So now they have a partial view of what God do. God was reflecting himself through Moses, but they couldn't stand it. It was no time. That was not the time. That just tells me, you know, this is the shadow. So he has to cover his face. So nobody, you know, at least somebody, the people can come and talk to him and not be afraid of his countenance. So now Paul is saying that was their situation in the Old Testament. Everything was kind of dark. They didn't know all what we know. See, they knew partially some things. They were on the blood of goats and animals. So we still had to come to sacrifice Jesus. But in the meantime, things were kind of, fussy. You know? And I don't blame them. They didn't have a full restoration of the word. They had just walking around, you know, the prophet, whatever the prophet said, that's what we do. See? So it was darkly in the sense that it was a grayish area. But they didn't have to worry about that because the only thing they had to do was what the prophet said to do. As long as he was a prophet, the prophet was the mouthpiece. See? So they didn't have to figure out anything. Even though things look like, you know, this guy's crazy. Why we have to do this? You took us out of Egypt. Now we're in the desert. We are going to die. You know, what is your problem? And now we're going through all this. You know, there we had a lot of food. Here, there's not even water and blah, blah, blah. And they complain. Why? Because things were kind of dark and shady for them. See? But then, face to face, now they knew in part. The Old Testament, they only knew in part. That was the types. That was the shadows, he says. But then shall I know you and me today. Paul is saying, I will know even also as I was known. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, when our open face beholding, now we don't have to have a shadow. We don't need all that. We got the revelation by the Holy Spirit, and we have the word all restored to us. So we don't need to have a veil. We're not looking at God's veil. You know, Moses wanted to see God, and he only saw the back end. We are not looking at the back end anymore. We are looking at his face. There's nothing in between. We can see exactly what we need to do by revelation. Moses was the only one, the mouthpiece. Everybody else just followed the prophet. Today we had a prophet, but today also we have a Holy Spirit in us. Today, you know, in those times, they used to have the tabernacle in the desert, plus they had the Solomon build a temple, but the Holy of Holy was Baal. Only one person go there, bring the word out, and you believe it or not, but this is what it is. Ain't no why, when, how, and where. No, this is the word of the Lord. When you come to the Old Testament, we don't need a priest. We don't need all that. We just have access. We just go in, you know, and look face to face with God. You need something tonight? Go and talk to God face to face. He's not going to kill you. You're not going to die, I assure you. But we have today that opportunity. We have that advantage that they didn't have. We have access to God. So now Paul is saying, beholding his face, you know, open face. We're in a cover. Moses was covered. It's open face. And now we, as in a glass, now this is our mirror. And we had the word restore. A prophet came to restore. It's clear as a glass. You know, it's clear as water could be. So, you know, we don't need to was. He said, she said, I know. God spoke to me. I don't need to confer with nobody. No, or ask you, what do you think? No, you know what? I saw in the scriptures. I saw him. How? Well, because that's what the Bible says. It says, as an open face, beholding in a glass, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. And that is the same glory are being changed every day. So the change that you want is within you. See? So all you have to do is just, you know, get into the word, come, you know, and hear what God has for you every time the doors are open. And then somehow, and I cannot explain to you, you're going to cut a glimpse of God somehow. And in that, it's going to tell you what you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to do it, by the revelation. Amen? So we don't have to be guessing. Today, the guesswork is over. Either we are or we are not. Because we have no excuse. We are not ignorance anymore. See, we can go into the holies of holies face to face with God himself. And we don't have to ask permission. There is nobody guarding that. There is no more angels that were guarding at the beginning. You know? Now you can go freely. It's given freely. We will save and we give it. Why? Because everyone that he calls and he fills has access to God. Isn't that amazing? Because, you know, all you have to do is just pray and tell him your situation. And then let him take care of the situation. So that's what Paul is trying to say over here. Beholding him face to face. And today, when we encounter the word of God as it's preached in his purity, we are looking at God in his face. Because he is the word. So when you read this word, you're looking at him by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. So this is not a game, or this is not we need to know what we are doing. If you don't know what you're looking at, how do you going to be that when you don't even know what you're supposed to look? You know what you're supposed to look like. Now, you're not going to look like this at once, you know, from the day to the night, but if you look at it progressively, continuously, continue being faithful, no, your life is going to change continuously every day. The thing is to be faithful to him. Amen. Romans, like I said, change is to change to another form. So all of us who have that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord today. Amen. See, by the Spirit. And then we are becoming more and more like him as we are changing into his glorious image. We seem we like to be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. But that's what I want to be. And I know how to be like Jesus. I got examples. I know. I got a mirror. I can see. And whenever I come short, you know, I said, Lord, you know, I need you. So in Romans 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye changed, transformed. This world is not going to change you. I'm going to tell you that much. It will, for the bad anyway. So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, every day, you know, our mind, you know, and this, you know what that means? That means that God will transform you into a person by changing the way you think. That hurts. Because sometimes I think and nothing happens. You like to think. Some of you like to think a lot. But God wants you to change your thinking. Or like I said at work sometimes, he wants to change your stinking because your think stinks. So, listen, what are you going to bring to God? What can you offer God? The only thing you can offer is an empty vessel. Let him fill it up. He says he wants to do away, you know, with your thinking. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect and acceptable to him. But first, we need to throw our thinking out, our feelings. Thinking is our feelings. I feel this should be this way. I feel this should, I feel. I don't know. That's what we put in the case, feeling. In our cakes, we fill it up with feelings. And I tell everybody, our cakes have feelings. You know, they do have feelings. It's just about what people, you know. That's how much your feelings will count in this thing. Like my cake's full of feelings. All cakes have feelings. Don't hurt my cakes. Okay. It says, transform by the, make us more and more like him. Sorry, actually. You prove, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. See? Don't copy the behavior of the world and the customs of the world. But let God transform you, change you. Because that is what I want. That's what you want. That's why you come to church. Then why you come to church? Because you need a change. And that is not of you. That's God giving you the desire to change. He had to do that. Because if it was up to us, you know, we fight changes. He said, then you will learn how to, the will of God, and you can conform. See? So you conform, you know, with his word, and you are fashioned, you know, to his image, see, according to his word. That's a transformation. Then I read you 1 Corinthians 13. So what is going to take, quickly, what is going to take for this change to happen? Let's go to Romans 12:1, because this is not something that just happened. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in what? In a dead sacrifice? Everything that have breath. Praise the Lord. Are you alive? Then present a living sacrifice. And to present a living sacrifice, you have to be living in him, in Christ. Christ is your life. See? So he says, a living sacrifice. I put some numbers there. I was just thinking, you know, when I think anyway, I put numbers. Because I was saying, you know, that we come to church 6 hours a week. You know, two, Wednesday, and, okay, make it 9, but 6 at least. And we have, oh, that's wrong. Anyway, we have 52 weeks a year. I don't know what I put 6. I just like 6 and 6. So anyway, that amounts to about a 10% in a whole year. Is that too much? He required a 10% of your tithing. What about a 10% of your time? So if actually you want to give the 10% of God, you have to come to church all the time. Are you sure in God?
Right.
Okay, whatever that's worse, okay? But that's how I think, you know? Because you have to give 10% of your money, or your life, or your time, or your home, whatever. It's 10%, at least 10%. So if you come to church every year, to every service, you're okay. You have paid your tithing. This don't count. This do not count the special meetings. That is a bonus. No, it's just like, you know, it's just like when we have a minister that come from the outside, and we give him a love offering. That's beside your tithing. That's beside your offering, right? That's a bonus. Okay, so you offering God a little extra. And then he says, a living sacrifice. Brother Doug was talking about pouring, you know, sacrifice, pouring yourself into that sacrifice, because it's a living sacrifice. Before, they used to have a living, you know, animal. He didn't live for too long, but he was living. The same thing with you. He died for me so I can have life. Now I have to offer a living sacrifice to him, the praises of my lips, you know. So it's not a dead one. So if we come to church, you're not pleasing me. You're not pleasing John, because you are giving him all the praise that he deserves, because he make you alive and well. So just because that, God has been so good to us that we should even offer that sacrifice. Coming to church, if it's a sacrifice, praise the Lord. I mean, I'm not going to tell you that I like to come, you know, that my body wants to come. I had to make a sacrifice. You had to make a sacrifice. I mean, you got families over here with children. You don't think that was a sacrifice? I used to drag mine to church. You had to dress them. You had to bathe them. You had to throw them in the car. And, you know, you had to drive them. You had to bring them to church. And you had to put up with them in church because they don't want to sit still. Oh, it was a sacrifice. But I wanted to hear the word of God regardless. And when I said, let's go to church, it wasn't no why. Everybody got in the car. That was, see, my example. So, I know it's a sacrifice. I'm not telling you that it's something that you're enjoying to do. Get up in the morning at 7 o'clock. I got up this morning at 6, whatever. And I had to do some study. And I'm tired. I didn't get my nap this afternoon because my son has something else, a birthday for the kids. And I wanted to see the grandchildren. So I'm tired. So I'm going to let you go early so I can go to bed. Listen, I want you to pray for me now that I remember. You need to pray for me. Really, you need to pray for me. Pray for one another. You know, I need to go to the dentist tomorrow. I'm not afraid of the dentist, and I'm not afraid of shots or anything. I just don't like it. There's something that is called the Y syndrome. I'm talking about persons or ethnic groups or anything. It just the codes. You know, when you go to the hospital. So every time I go to the hospital, even if I go to the VA anyway, and I'm around these white coats, my blood pressure goes up. Yeah, you too? You know what I'm talking about. That's not because we're getting old. It's just we got a syndrome here. Good work. So they take it. I say, oh, it's 150. I said, I don't know. I was okay when I came in. And now I'm just kind of antsy and, you know, anxious and, but I'm not afraid what they're going to do. But it's just my body wants to react that way. And I don't care. I let them. So when you get done, let me know, you know, so we can get on with whatever. So tomorrow anyway, just pray for me. Probably I have to take a couple of molars. And I know that's going to hurt. And later on, it's going to hurt. So that everything will go smoothly. Anyway, I appreciate your prayer. So truly, we need to worship. We have to make a life, a living, and a holy sacrifice. You know, we lift our holy hands. That means that you made everything cry with him before you came through those doors. You know, you don't have nothing against nobody. You put all your mistakes and failures and sin, whatever, under the blood, and he will forgive you. Amen. You can come through that door, and you don't have to worry about, you know, the pastor talking about you. Because he don't know when he going to the aspiration. If you don't put that under the blood, it's going to come out. And then people say, what are you talking about me? I said, no, I didn't know. I was just talking. So if we come that way, then we can offer a holy sacrifice. God is holy, and he requires holiness. You know? So don't copy the behavior and the custom of the world. God, that they do that all the time. You know, Elijah did the same thing. 400 prophets killed. Why? Because they follow the custom of the world. Elijah wasn't going to do that. He restored the whole thing again in the evening time. And he offered the sacrifice in the same altar and everything. But it was restored. We have a restored word today. So we can offer our sacrifice. See, and you are the sacrifice. It's not me. It is you. Because you make it a sacrifice to come, but might as well just get what you need to get from God, you know? And we appreciate your sacrifice, because without you, it won't be no church. So, let's not copy their behavior and act like they do, and you know, but let's God transform us to a new person, so he can change our ways and our thinking. It's what we want. Then you will learn what is his perfect will for your life and what is pleasing to him. See? So, and that is what characterizes a believer, a Christian, is to be devoted, to be obedient, to be humble, and to depend on God. See? That is what actually, you know, if I tell you what Jesus was doing, that's what Jesus was doing. We read this morning, he was obedient, he was humble. See, and he had a servant
spirit.
See? So when we come to church, that is, we're talking about changes. We haven't changed our subject yet. But all this is changes. It got to take place. We're going to have to come sooner or later to this. When? Today. What time? There's no time. Today is the time, the acceptable time to start these changes. We are not waiting for somebody. You are the change that you're seeking. It's right in you. So when you get exposed to certain situations and certain problems, you know, don't get grumpy and don't complain, because God is doing something to bring that change out of you that is needed. That's the only way he's going to do it, you know. Then you go through a transition. It's a mess, you know, like a birth. It's a mess. But out of that mess, God can create some beautiful things, you know. And that's what I want. That when I'm tempted, or when God decides that he's going to let that guy loose on me, that he found me worthy of that test. Because he's going to say, I know what I put in Eli, and I know what he's going to do. And when he do it, he's going to realize who he is and what he is. See? So that's the Christian walk. Be devoted and obedient. See? Subjected to the will of God. See? Humble. And then Galatians 2:20. Because we're talking still, what it's going to take? It's going to take a sacrifice. But not a dead sacrifice. It's going to take a live one. You know, you come to church, be alive. I don't care if your life is going to pieces. Just don't show the devil that it's going to pieces. Act like you're still alive and well. I'm crucified with Christ, so I got to die. I got to carry my own cross every day. This is not just a one-time deal. We got to die every day to this guy. If you want change, you got to die to this. Nevertheless, I live. But he said, okay, you know, I am crucified. I'm dead, but I'm still alive. But it's not me, he says. Not I, but Christ that liveth in me. So if you're going to offer a living sacrifice, it is not you anyway. You're offering the life that is in you as a sacrifice, like he did with his life. Right. See? Because that's the only thing that is alive in you. It's him. Right. And that's what God wants. I know he sacrificed his own son for you and me. You know? So now his son is in me. So that sacrifice hasn't stopped yet, but it's not a dead sacrifice. Now it's a sacrifice that is alive. Because when God sees you, he don't see you anyway. He sees you through the blood, through Christ. So when you offer a sacrifice, he just only hear your voice. See? So he's not seeing you. But he see what is in you. What he put in you, that is what is giving glory and honor to him. See? But Christ live in me, and the life which now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So even though I'm alive, I'm not dead. But if I'm living, it's because him. And every day, if I'm breathing, it's because him. See, there's nothing I can claim. I'm dead. So this life is him, belong to him every day. He says, live the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My old self has been crucified, is what he's saying, with Christ. And it's no longer him that who lives, he says, but Christ that lives in him. Christ lives in us. Christ supplies me with that spiritual life that I have need of. It's the only way you can have that life. Sure. Which both, you know, enable me to what? To keep the word. Yeah. See, in myself, I cannot obey this message. If I know some people say it is hard. It is hard if you're trying to do it on your own. But you let that God, that Christ that lives in you, help you to live that life. And, you know, I'm not looking at myself. If I look at myself, I'm a failure. I see a lot of shortcomings. I will never make it. But I'm not looking at me. I'm looking at that life that is in me, his word. I'm looking at myself the way he's looking at me. See? So I can see some potential in me. See? And that's Christ that lives in me. So, the believers need to submit themselves to the will of God. Because submitting to the word of God, the manifestation of that is obedience. Every time you submit to the will of God, it's just like Christ. He was obedience. Why? Because he didn't do anything wrong, but he has to also say no. He didn't do anything. He didn't have to learn by experience like you and I learned by experience making mistakes. No. He just said no to the temptation. And that's how we have to do. And that is the only way we can live by obedience, is submitting ourselves to the will of God. Every day. When we walk, we die to ourselves, and whatever you want, God, that is what you get. Period. Oh, it's not me anyway. So I know it's hard, but it's not me. It is you. That is interesting. He gives the order, and I pack it, and he's the one that makes sure that I do the. I mean, he's the one doing it for me. So what is my job here? Just let go and let him do the work. You don't have to do anything. The only thing you have to do is go that way, that direction, and God will take out the rest. That is amazing, because he sends, and he also do it for us. How can you lose? How can you lose? He says, it's manifested in obedience to the world, to the word, submission to his will. So Christ living me, Christ supplies me with that spiritual life, which both enable me to keep this word. A living sacrifice, wholly devoted to God, to the service of God. See? I need that other piece. Amen. You quiet tonight? Are you tired? I want to see if this morning I finish everything that I was going to tell you. I have so much here from the morning that I had to leave out. I don't think I have anything here that we didn't cover. A spiritual life. Then I want to read you something right here in the Bible. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. You're going to have to put it. I don't have it in my notes. It's just something that I wanted to do. It says, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Not when you feel it. Not when you like to. Always. And again, wait, in case you missed it the first time, always. Rejoice in the bad, in the good, in the worse, in the ugly. Rejoice. And again, in case you didn't hear the first time, rejoice, he says. Let your gentleness, here he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, can you? Oh, well, let's go to 5 then. Okay. Let your moderation be known. Your gentleness. See? Be the evidence of what? The Lord is at hand. You know when people want to know that the Lord is in you? When you handle them with gentleness. When you handle people with moderation. See? When you handle Jesus the way you are handled by him, then the Lord is at hand. Not at hand, he's at hand. That is the only way I know that Jesus is in you. Because that Jesus will do the same thing he did before. So see, the way you treat your brother, you know, it lets me know that something is happening in your life. That is the fruit of that spirit in your life. The way you are treating other people. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. In my NIV, it says at hand. So that is how we know, and people will know, that something, you got something that they don't have. Because every time you treat people as he treats you, then they feel, they sense something. What? He's near. The times when you worship God, the time that you really passionate, you come to church, that's when Jesus, not have to be a church, at your home, anywhere you go, the time that you start praising the Lord in your car, the time that you really start doing this thing, what do you feel? that something come near to you. Amen. Now, can you imagine creating that atmosphere for somebody else that you meet? If you treat him the same way he treats you, then they will know, it's, you know, you are a Christian. He says, do not be what? Anxious. Be careful for nothing. Do not be anxious according to my. This one. Said, but in every situation. But in everything or in every situation, he says, be by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, present your request to what? To God. Supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. You have a problem? You have a need? You know, the veil is open. Why don't you go there and tell God? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Oh, that this is not working right, and that's not working right, and I don't know what happened here. I wasn't my fault, and blah, blah. You know, just go to God. It says don't be anxious, you know, and don't be worried about things. But just go and talk to him. You know, it's an open door. You can behold his face and talk to him about whatever you have need of. And he will satisfy that need. But he says, take it to him. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Just go and in prayer and petition with thanksgiving present your request to God. And the peace of God. So when you get that, you know your request has been answered. Maybe not yet, but at least God has given you a peace on that situation. That's what I was telling you. When we're going through transition, when we're going through a change, the first thing we feel is like we are tossed back and forward, you know, like winds, you know, take us here and take us there, and or the waves of the sea turns all around. Why? Because we are trying to be, we get anxious about it. You know, we get our feelings involved, and then what happens is we don't find the peace of God. The only way you find the peace of God is by finding God in that situation and ask him why. It's fine. You can ask why. He's not going to, you know, tell you like I told Elliot, you know, when he says why, I said, just do it because I told you. That's what I tell. Why? I don't care if I tell him, go to the bathroom. You need to go. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to do it right there on your pants. Go. But he wants to know why. I don't know who taught him that. It wasn't me. Why? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and the peace of God which passes or transcends all understanding shall keep your heart and mind. See? That is the part that we lose when we get into the jams, that we get into the mess. The first thing it goes is the mind. We go crazy. We don't know what to do. And we get all worried. We get all anxious. And our hearts are not in there. I don't know. I used to feel so happy and rejoice when I was there. And my heart is not there any longer. Why? Nothing has changed. But you. I just told you the situation don't change you. The change is in you. And if you find a struggle, that's not God changing anything. That is our own self that like to change things. So if you want God to keep your heart and mind through all that mess that we go through, then let's go to God. And said, hey, you know, I have a need. And he will satisfy your need. Because he wants to. He wants you to run to God. You know? He don't want you to figure out. In fact, I'm so glad that I don't have to figure this out. I don't have to figure out why you love me, why you don't love me, you love me. I don't have to figure nothing out. I know one thing. He loves me. And he's going to be with me. He will not forsake me. He will not leave me. I don't care if I don't feel him in those situations. That's just my feelings. And feelings, and 50 cents, get your cup of coffee, like brother says. That's all. Amen. And then he will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Because that's the two things that we lose right away in a situation. You know, that's what we get in the problems we get, because the thing we said and the thing we think, because we think we know. Amen. And that's all right. Just make sure you turn all that to God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, you know, I don't care if you're right. I don't care if I'm right. This is not about being right. This is about the truth. He says, brother, sister, whatever is the truth, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. If you think about something before beside that, it is you. Because that's the way I should think. That is the mind of Christ. And as long as I am thinking right, it will turn out right. Sooner or later. Amen. I'm going to let you go early. It's 7:30, so I'm done. I got a trip tomorrow, and I want you to pray for me. Amen. Can we stand, and we take a little time to sing to God and praise God? Amen. Let's sing that song, Kenny, I've Been Changed. Amen. I don't know. That's the only part I remember until I see it. Is that the title of the song? I don't know. What do I know? I'm glad that I don't know. Because I can depend on God for everything that I have need of. Oh, won't go back. Thank you. I know you keep me straight. Yes. Hey, no, thank you. I'm not saying nothing. You know, I'm a confused kind of a guy. Go ahead. I've been changed. Amen. Free. Deliver.